Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Hospital bed capacity is close to its limits in Czechia, according to a senior health official. The government is still planning on a Monday school reopening if some conditions are met, and the compulsory wearing of respirators in several public spaces is set to begin on Thursday. Hospital bed capacity in the Czech Republic is close to its absolute limits, primarily due to a lack of personnel. Deputy Health Minister and Hospital Bed Coordinator Vladimír Černý said at a press conference on Tuesday. This, he said, is leading to the delay of non-COVID-related care. The ministry is currently working on expanding the number of intensive care units in health facilities. The lack of qualified personnel means that the ministry is not considering activating a field hospital in Brno, Mr. Černý said. Dozens of new intensive care beds are, however, being set up in Prague at the moment, according to the Deputy Health Minister. It will now be able to transfer some patients with the COVID-19 coronavirus from Czechia to German hospitals, the governor of the Karlovy Vary region, Petr Kulhánek, said on Tuesday. The German state of Saxony has offered 9 beds for this purpose. The government is still planning a partial return of pupils and students to Czech schools from next Monday, the Minister of Health Jan Blatný told journalists. However, such a move is contingent on the distribution of antigen tests to schools and the passing of a new law on pandemics. The Minister of Interior, Jan Hamáček, who heads the National Coronavirus Task Force, said it would be hard to meet the March 1st deadline. He refused to speculate about what date school returns would actually happen. The Cabinet is set to discuss the matter again at a meeting later this week. Respirators will be required in some places in the Czech Republic from Thursday, not Tuesday as previously stated. The Minister of Health Jan Blatný announced the new restriction aimed at curbing the spread of COVID-19 at a news conference on Monday night. FFP2 or K95 class respirators will need to be worn in relatively highly frequented places, such as shops and at hospitals, social care facilities and on public transport. If people do not possess them, they may wear nano face masks or 2 surgical masks instead. Children will be required to wear at least a surgical mask. From the end of February, such shields must be worn inside buildings and outside in municipalities and in proximity to others. Homemade masks are no longer accepted as protection. The majority of Czech companies active in the industry sector will end their 2020 fiscal year in profit, according to a January survey of 162 firms conducted by the Confederation of Industry of the Czech Republic. A total of 45% of companies will have either reached or exceeded their original profit margins. Meanwhile, 37% of related companies said that their profits for 2020 will be below expectations. Just 12% of industry businesses did not make a profit last year or experienced an overall loss in their revenue. According to the survey, the coronavirus crisis had the most significant impact on the automobile industry, where 63% of related companies recorded their profits to be lower than initially planned. The largest share of companies that recorded a loss last year came from the glass and machinery sector. Czech news agency photographer Roman Vondroš has been awarded the Pictures of the Year International Award in the sports category for his series of images depicting fans of Prague football team Bohemians 1905 scaling a ladder to follow their team's match during coronavirus restrictions. Each year, more than 52,000 works are submitted to the Pictures of the Year International competition, out of which 240 winners are selected. Competition is organized by the Missouri School of Journalism's Donald W. Reynolds Journalism Institute. And the Czech freediver David Wenzel has broken the world record for the longest under ice dive. Wearing just his swimming trunks and goggles, Mr. Wenzel swam 80 meters in the flooded quarry of Vabenka near Teplice, breaking the previous world record held by Dane Stig Severson, who managed 76.2 meters in 2013. And as far as the weather is concerned, Wednesday will see temperatures range around 13 degrees Celsius, with open skies and low wind speeds. My name is Tomáš Krow, and that is all the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, we'll look at the coronavirus situation here in the Czech Republic and tell you about the new restrictions coming into force. We'll look into why the Czech Republic is preparing to sue Poland over the Turov coal mine. And later on, we'll talk to Petr Horálek, a photo ambassador for the European Southern Observatory. Stay with us. Due to the worsening coronavirus situation, as of Thursday, new protective face mask rules go into effect as Parliament rushes to adopt a special pandemic law. The government is also looking to implement mandatory testing in workplaces and planning for the partial return of children to schools as early as March 1st if antigen testing is in place. Brian Kennedy has the details.
As of Thursday, throughout the Czech Republic, it will be mandatory to wear FFP2 or KN95 high-grade respirators when in public spaces indoors. That includes while using public transport and waiting at stops and stations. If that high-grade facial protection is unavailable, adults can wear two surgical face masks at once. Children up to 15 years of age are not required to wear such respirators, as smaller ones that fit them are largely unavailable. Also on Thursday, homemade cloth masks, including bandanas and the like, are officially deemed insufficient to protect other people in close proximity, even while outdoors, and these will be forbidden entirely as of March. Aware that some people are using homemade face masks to save money or reusing surgical masks and the like, the government has announced plans to distribute millions of FFP2s through food banks. Meanwhile, Minister of Interior Jan Hamáček, who heads the National Coronavirus Task Force, said discussions are ongoing regarding logistical aspects of mandatory testing. But the government is committed to open schools partially in the near future.
The first topic under discussion was how to fulfill our promise to make it our priority to return elementary and secondary school students to the classroom. There are two conditions, that there are enough antigen tests and that the so-called pandemic law is in effect.
The opposition parties agreed last week on a draft pandemic law so as not to have to debate the extension of each state of emergency. But the Constitutional Court ruled that it had not been properly reasoned, as one judge, Wojciech Szymiczek, explained on Monday.
According to legal provisions, it is not possible to prohibit everything across the board and without justification, and then retrospectively exempt certain affected areas again by means of an exception regulation, whereby this is again not justified.
The Senate is therefore expected to send the pandemic law back to the lower house this week. MPs will need to amend the legislation and try to pass it at a special session this Friday to avoid a legal gap. The interim two-week state of emergency, called by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš at the request of regional governors, expires on Sunday. About one in six coronavirus patients here requires treatment in intensive care units. On average, about 85% of beds in Czech ICU wards are full. The situation is especially dire in two areas of Bohemia, the Karlovy Vary region bordering Germany, and in two districts of the Hradec-Králové region bordering Poland.
Brian Kennedy reporting there on the serious coronavirus situation in this country. Now turning to a drawn-out row between Prague and Warsaw. The Czech government has announced it will sue Poland over the expansion of the Turów brown coal mine, located in the close proximity to the Czech border. The expansion, which should enable mining to continue until 2044, was approved by the Polish authorities despite Czech concerns that it would threaten water sources for villages on the Czech side, as well as severely increasing noise and dust pollution. Wells and streams around the towns of Friedland, Hradec, Nadniso and Chrastava in the North Bohemian region are already drying up as a result of the mining activity across the border, and the mine's extension, which will stop just 1 kilometre from the common border, is threatening to make the situation even worse. The dispute dates back to 2016, and efforts to halt the project through bilateral negotiations have been unsuccessful, with Poland repeatedly arguing that adequate measures are being taken to protect inhabitants and land on the Czech side of the border. A non-binding legal opinion from the European Commission last year, stating that Poland had made errors in applying the provisions of EU directives on environmental impact assessment and access to information, failed to make any difference. After the last bilateral talks in Warsaw 10 days ago failed to make headway, the government announced on Monday that it would file a complaint with the European Court of Justice and seek an injunction that would halt operations at the mine pending a ruling on the case. Czech Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček said the Czech Republic saw no other solution but would remain open to negotiations with Poland in the hope of reaching an out-of-court agreement. It is regrettable that a lawsuit is necessary when most of Europe is looking for ways to phase out coal mining due to climate change, Petříček told reporters. The Polish authorities have expressed surprise over the move, saying that in the course of applying for the license to expand the mine, PGE had carried out large-scale consultations with both the Czech Republic and Germany. It said the last talks with Czech officials had appeared to indicate that a compromise agreement was possible. The extension of operations at the mine until 2044 is to help increase Poland's national security and electricity supplies, with coal mining in the country planned until 2049. That's 10 to 15 years later than the planned Czech phase-out of coal mining. Moreover, an expert study suggests that should mining continue to deplete groundwater on the Czech side of the border, around 1 billion crowns will be needed in the coming years to provide 30,000 people from the area with drinking water. You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Now have a listen to this.
At some point, every sentence in this book has been spoken. That was our aim, to capture the little oddities of each of us and preserve them for all time. The little quirks.
I sat down one quiet evening and started sorting through the memories of my own life and the life of my parents. I wrote down these fragments on scraps of paper or on clean pages torn out of my children's old exercise books. And one incident in my memory would call forth the one before and the one after.
The real lives of people and what actually went on and how they thought and what they did. It's an unusual thing for a family to have a chronicle like that.
No Night So Dark, a 7-part serial telling the story of the remarkable Vels family. Coming up soon on Radio Prague International.
Join us for that, and do please take the time to check out the various interviews and mini-series that we're offering on our website at radio.cz. Now on Radio Prague International, it's time for our main feature, Brian Kennedy's interview with a man fascinated by space, a man who has even had an asteroid named for him.
Petr Horálek travels the globe to observe and photograph solar and lunar eclipses and delivers lectures in schools across the Czech Republic to encourage young people to cast their eyes towards the heavens. A few years ago, he became a photo ambassador for the European Southern Observatory and even has an asteroid named after him, 6822 Horálek. More on that later. I spoke to him about his life's work shortly after NASA named his breathtaking picture of the comet Neowise, now closer than ever to the Earth, as astronomy picture of the day. I began by asking Petr Horálek an astronomer by education, how he first got into stargazing.
Everything started when I was really young. It was in 1997 when I was with my grandparents in their cottage. And my grandmother just wanted to show me the Big Dipper in the sky. And that time when I was young, I just didn't understand it. It's something interesting. So I only went outside and I just checked what is in the sky. And it was not that interesting to me at the time. But after that, she told me that there is a shape of the Big Dipper, and she told me that on the paper. And then I was interested again, so I went out after a few minutes, and more than the shape of it was interesting to me that the Big Dipper is in a big different place in the sky because of the rotation of the Earth. And that was the impulse which made me so fascinated by astronomy.
And you went on to study theoretical physics and astrophysics in Brno. In layperson's terms, what did you focus on? What was your thesis?
Well, first thing I started was only the astronomy course, and I just wanted to understand everything around. And then when I went to the college, the most interesting to me became the total solar eclipses, because they are very interesting, not only from the scientific part, but also for everybody who just wants to see it or who sees it, who can see it in the future. Every time it makes you so excited and so fascinated, and you want to see it again and again. So this is why I started to be so fascinated by the solar eclipses.
When you graduated and went to the Astronomical Institute in Ondřejov, was that also your focus, solar eclipses especially, or was it a different kind of work?
When I graduated in Masaryk University, I started to do the observer of fireballs in the sky. So I was part of the big team which focused on the monitoring of fireballs. But in my personal interest, I started more to focus on the astrophotography and for the solar eclipses. So professionally, I was first time more focused on the interplanetary matter, but then I just wanted to know more about solar eclipses and the solar atmosphere, and then actually it made me fascinated by the solar eclipses themselves.
I understand that 2014 was a very key year for you, that you went to New Zealand to work in the fruit orchards, save money, and so you could photograph the southern sky. What constellations or phenomena did you have a chance to observe there and later in the Cook Islands, Canary Islands, South Africa?
In 2014, I really went to New Zealand, and I stopped to do any professional astronomy and just went to pick orchards and just enjoy the dark skies in the southern hemisphere. And I was really fascinated, and will never forget the first moment when I saw the whole constellation Scorpion in the sky, which is probably the most beautiful constellation in the sky. It is beautiful in order of its location in the sky, because it's very close to the center of the Milky Way. And unlike our parts of Europe, where you can see the center of the Milky Way just low over the horizon, there the center can very easily get to zenith, and you can have it just above your head. And it's such bright, especially in the dark sky, that if you have a good camera, just average camera, and do some good exposure, you can capture your own shadow cast by the Milky Way, which is completely crazy.
That is amazing, yeah. And upon your return in 2015, or I guess you went to the Atacama Desert and the European Southern Observatory, and then you began working to popularize astronomy, in part giving lectures in schools. Can you tell me how that came about and give me an idea of what a typical lecture might be, how you get students interested in the field?
Well, I always somehow was more interested in popularization of astronomy, not in the professional astrophysics and astronomy. So I always try to be part of some group which focuses on showing the night skies to the people and so on. And when I became the photo ambassador of the European Southern Observatory, which brought me to Chile and to the Atacama Desert, and I was able to do some good photographs. I used that photographs to show the people, not just in Chile or in Germany, where is the headquarters of ESO, but everywhere. I used those photographs for showing what is such amazing in the sky and why we should not just forget about the sky quality and why we should fight against the light pollution. So most of what I do and part of the popularization of astronomy I do is always about the fight against the light pollution.
I see. So making people more aware of light pollution is a big part of also getting them to look up into the night sky, I can imagine. So you are especially interested in solar and lunar eclipses and travel the world to observe them, and you published a collection in a book called, in English, it would be Mysterious Eclipses. What are some of your most memorable trips or the most amazing eclipses that you've viewed?
Well, each of them is unique. Of course, every experience is completely different, so I cannot say everything, but if I can say at least one experience or two maybe, one of them is the second solar eclipse I saw. It was in Turkey, and it was one of the longest ones I saw. And it was completely unforgettable because we were in the small village Zirali by Mediterranean Sea, and we could easily see such a beautiful corona, which was huge. It can be like 5 times larger than the sun in the sky. And also the emotions, of course, because it was on a beach and thousands of people were on the beach, and such emotions around were very easy to hear. And you were part of that, so you had to be part of the emotions as well. So this was more about the emotions and what was in the sky. But another very beautiful moment was a year ago when I was a photo ambassador, one of the photographs of the solar eclipse, which was visible over ESO La Silla Observatory, which was very unique because the next one will occur in 2231 over the observatory. And because you are in the Atacama Desert and also in very high altitude, about 2,400 meters, you could see such a beautiful, clear solar eclipse with colors in the sky, because the eclipse was very low over the horizon. And so you could see the shape, the U-shape of the shadow, which was moving in your direction. And the colors of the illumination of the sky, and also the foreground, the desert, which was far, it was illuminated, but you were in the shadow. So very dramatic, very beautiful, very colorful, one of the most amazing experiences.
I also wanted to ask you about asteroid number 6822, Horalak, which was named after you. It was discovered on October 28th, 1986, and that's the year of your birth, and also Czechoslovak National Independence Day. What's the story behind that asteroid?
Well, astronomers cannot name an asteroid after themselves. The only object you can name after you, or can be named after you, is a comet. And so if some astronomer discovers an asteroid, he can only recommend after whom it should be named. And I was such a lucky person because at some point, astronomers who discovered that, they noticed that I'm very active in popularization of astronomy and in showing the beauty of sky by my pictures and so on. And so they just wanted to give me this kind of award, let's say. And they found that one of the asteroids, which was discovered by Zdena Vavrova in Kletch Observatory, is still not named after anybody, and so they just suggested my name for this asteroid. And then the International Astronomical Union just agreed that, okay, it can be named after Peter Halk. So this is the story of the asteroid.
It's quite an honor. And recently, just this week, also, one of your photos was chosen by NASA as astronomical picture of the day, and that's of a comet called Neowise. I understand it's closest right now as we speak to the Earth, some 103 million kilometers, and right below the Big Dipper constellation. What can you tell me about that photo, the conditions when you took it, and where do you recommend viewing the comet now in the Czech Republic?
So for the first question, the sky at the moment really is very interesting because we can see the comet and we can see it very close to the Big Dipper. When we went to see it in the dark skies, me and my friends tried to find some good place with a good view, and the weather was not with us all the time, and so we just went to the Eagle Mountains. We finally found a beautiful place, coincidentally with a beautiful view to the Suchý Vrch. Comet was just above it, the summit. And so I just started to do many exposures, and then after some post-processing, I was just amazed that the tail, the yon tail of the comet is so huge that it's just actually away from the field of view. Actually, even the editors of Astronomy Picture of the Day were amazed by this, so they published it. And about the comet itself, it's really amazing one. It's actually probably the most beautiful after 22 years, at least from the Northern Hemisphere. And at the moment, it's getting closer to the Earth, which occurs on July 23rd. But it's getting dimmer because it's far from the sun. The sunlight is not so close to the comet, so the comet actually is dimming. But because it's closer to the Earth, in the sky, especially photographically, is a huge and so it's yon tail. It's as long as the width of the Big Dipper in the sky. And for the photographers, it's an amazing object, but also for the public, people can just travel away from the cities and still can see it very easily with naked eyes or with just some small telescope, just under the well-known Big Dipper, which is a very good coincidence to make it even easily found. And this will occur just till the end of this week, and then the moon starts to shine too bright. So now are actually the best conditions to see it in the sky.
Great. My last question, I guess, is what phenomena or pearls of astronomy, as you've called them, are highest on your list now? What would you most like to photograph in the coming years, let's say?
Well, I have a list of the most unique and most amazing, captivating phenomena. There are seven, and comet was actually one of them, and finally I have it. So the last thing I didn't see in my life, and it's actually very rare, and I don't know if I have a chance at all, is a bright supernova. Bright supernova is something that occurs statistically once per 200 years. And the last one occurred in the beginning of 17th century. And so statistically, it should occur every day, bright supernova in our galaxy, which makes a star as bright as the moon, or even brighter, for a few weeks. So hopefully, not just me, but all the world will have a chance to see this very rare event in the sky.
Peter Hralek's photograph entitled The Long Tails of Comet Neowise, which captures the sky above Suchý Vrch in the Orlické region, was taken on the night of July 13th through 14th, when the sun was almost directly below the comet, deep in the horizon. Thanks to this, the bluish so-called ion tail of the comet appears to point almost vertically upwards, and it is possible to recognize some nodes caused by the reaction of ionized gas to the solar wind. The Suchý Vrch horizon is highlighted by light pollution, however, from neighboring Kłodzko, Poland.
And that feature was prepared and presented by Brian Kennedy. It's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And remember, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.